Chapter 3. At the Gardens. Arengar arrived in answer to Moradin's summons, spoken into her furious dreams, to find him not yet there. That was hardly surprising. He liked to make an entrance. 11 tall armchairs, carved and gilded, sat in a circle in the middle of the striped wooden floor, but they were empty. Semirag, all in black as usual, looked around to see who had entered, then returned to her huddled conversation with Demondred and Messana in one corner of the room. Demondred's hook-nosed face carried an expression of anger that only made him more striking. Not enough to attract her, of course. He was far too dangerous for that. That well-fitted coat of bronze silk with folds of snowy lace at neck and wrists suited him, however. Messana also wore the style of this age, a darker, pattern-embroidered bronze. She appeared wan and subdued for some reason, almost as if she had taken ill. Well, that was possible. This age had a number of nasty diseases, and it seemed unlikely even she would trust Semirag for healing. Grendel, the only other human present, stood in the corner opposite, cradling a delicate crystal goblet filled with dark wine, but watching the trio rather than drinking. Only idiots ignored being studied by Grendel, yet the three went on with their fierce murmurs. The chairs jarred with the rest of their surroundings. The room appeared to have view walls, though the stone arch of a doorway destroyed the illusion. The chairs could have been anything here in Tel Ironriad. So why not something to suit the room? And why 11, when that was surely two more than needed? Asmodian and Samael must be as dead as Belal and Ravin. Why not the usual dilating door of a view room? The display made the floor seem to be surrounded by the Anseline Gardens, with Cormalind Massoon's immense sculptures of stylized humans and animals towering over low buildings themselves like delicate sculptures in spin glass. At the gardens, only the finest wines had been served, the finest dishes, and it almost always had been possible to impress a beautiful woman with large winnings at the ginger wheels, though cheating enough to win consistently had been difficult. Difficult, but necessary for a scholar who lacked wealth. All gone, in ruins by the third year of the war. A golden-haired, ever-smiling Zomara in a flowing white blouse and tight breeches bowed fluidly and offered Arengar a crystal goblet of wine on a silver tray. Graceful and beautifully androgynous, apparently human despite those dead black eyes, the creatures had been one of Aganor's less inspired creations. Still, even in their own age, when Moradin had been called Ishamael, there was no longer any doubt in her mind of who he was. He had trusted the creatures above any human servant, despite their uselessness for every other task. Somewhere he must have found a stasis box stuffed with the things. He had dozens, although he seldom brought them out, yet 10 more stood waiting, graceful while standing still. He must consider this meeting more important than most. Taking the goblet, she waved the Zomara away, though it was already turning before she gestured. She hated the creature's ability to know what was in her head. At least it could not communicate what it learned to anyone. Memories of anything but commands faded in minutes. Even Aganor possessed sense enough to see the need for that. Would he appear today? Osengar had missed every meeting since the failure at Shadar Logoth. The true question was he among the dead, or was he moving in secret, perhaps at the Great Lord's direction? Either way, his absences presented delicious opportunities, but the latter presented as many dangers. Dangers had been much on her mind lately. Casually, she strolled over to Grendel.
"Who do you think arrived first, Grendel? The Shadow Take Me, whoever it was, chose a depressing setting."
Lanfear had preferred meetings that floated in endless night, yet this was worse in its own way, like meeting in a cemetery. Grendel smiled thinly. At least she attempted a thin smile, but no amount of effort would make those lips thin. Lush was the word for all of Grendel. Lush and ripe and beautiful, and barely concealed by the gray mist of her streath gown. Though perhaps she should not have worn quite so many rings, all but one adorned with gems. The coronet encrusted with rubies clashed with her sun-gold hair, too. The emerald necklace Delana had provided went much better with her own green satin silks. Of course, while the emeralds were real, her silks were a product of the world of dreams. She would have attracted too much notice in the waking world with a dress cut so low, if it would even stay up there. And there was the slit that bared her left leg to the hip. Her legs were better than Grendel's. She had considered two slits. Her abilities here were not as large as some. She could not find Egwene's dreams without the girl right beside her. But she could manage the clothes she wanted. She enjoyed having her body admired, and the more she flaunted it, the more the others took her for inconsequential.
"I arrived first," Grendel said, frowning slightly into her wine. "I have fond memories of the gardens."
Arengar managed a laugh.
"So do I. So do I."
The woman was a fool like the rest, living in the past among the tatters of what was lost.
"We'll never see the gardens again, but we'll see their like."
She herself was the only one of them suited to rule in this age. She was the only one who understood primitive cultures. They had been her specialty before the war. Still, Grendel had useful skills and a wider range of contacts among the Friends of the Dark than she herself had, though the other woman would certainly disapprove of how Arengar meant to use them, should she learn.
"Has it occurred to you that all of the others have alliances, while you and I stand alone?"
And Osengar, if he was alive, but there was no need to bring him into this. Grendel's gown turned a darker gray, regrettably obscuring the view. It was real Streeth. Arengar had found a pair of stasis boxes herself, but filled with the most appalling rubbish for the most part.
"Has it occurred to you that this room must have ears? The Zomaran were here when I arrived." "Grendel," she purred the name. "If Moradin is listening, he'll assume I'm trying to get into your bed. He knows I never made alliances with anyone."
In truth, she had made several, but her allies always seemed to suffer fatal misfortunes once their usefulness ended, and they took all knowledge of the affiliations to their graves, those who found graves. The street went black as midnight in Larchine, and spots of color appeared on Grendel's creamy cheeks. Her eyes became blue ice. But her words were at odds with her face, and her gown faded to near transparency as she spoke, slowly, sounding thoughtful.
"An intriguing notion, one I have never before considered. I might do so now, perhaps. You will have to convince me, though."
"Good." The other woman was as quick-witted as ever. It was a reminder that she must be careful. She meant to use Grendel and dispose of her, not be caught in one of her traps.
"I am very good at convincing beautiful women."
She stretched out a hand to caress Grendel's cheek. Now was not too soon to begin convincing the others. Besides, something more than an alliance might come of it. She had always fancied Grendel. She no longer really remembered having been a man. In her memories, she wore the body she did now, which did make for a few oddities. Yet that body's influence had not changed everything. Her appetites had not altered, only broadened. She would very much like to have that Streeth gown, and anything else useful that Grendel might possess, of course, but she dreamed of wearing that dress sometimes. The only reason she was not wearing one now was that she would not have the other woman thinking she had imitated her. The Streeth remained barely opaque, but Grendel stepped away from the caress, looking past Arengar, who turned to find Messana approaching, flanked by Demandred and Semirag. He still appeared angry, and Semirag coolly amused. Messana was still pale, but no longer subdued. No, not subdued at all. She was a hissing career, spitting venom.
"Why did you let her go, Arengar? You were supposed to be controlling her. Were you so busy playing your little dream games with her that you forgot to learn what she was thinking? The rebellion will fall apart without her for a figurehead. All my careful planning ruined because you couldn't keep a grasp on one ignorant girl."
Arengar held on to her temper firmly. She could hold it when she was willing to make the effort. Instead of snarling, she smiled. Could Messana actually have based herself inside the White Tower? How wonderful it would be if she could find a way to split that threesome apart.
I listened in on a sitting of the Rebels' Hall last night, in the world of dreams, so they could meet inside the White Tower with Egwene leading it.
She's not the figurehead you believe. I've tried telling you before, but you never listened.
That came out too hard. With an effort, and it required effort, she moderated her tone.
Egwene told them all about the situation inside the tower, the Ajahs at one another's throats. She convinced them it's the tower that is about to fall apart and that she might be able to help it along from where she is. Were I you, I'd worry whether the tower can hold together long enough to keep this conflict going.
They're determined to hold on, Masana murmured, half under her breath.
She nodded.
Good. Good.
Then everything is proceeding according to plan. I had been thinking I would need to stage some sort of rescue, but perhaps I can wait until Elida has broken her. Her return should create even more confusion then. You need to sow more dissension, Arangar. Before I'm done, I want those so-called Aes Sedai hating each other in their blood. A Zumara appeared, bowing gracefully as it offered a tray with three goblets. Masana and her companions took the wine without a glance at the creature, and it bowed again before flowing away.
Dissension was always something she was good at, Semirog said.
Demandred laughed. Arangar forced her anger down. Sipping her own wine, it was quite good, with a heady aroma, if nowhere near the vintages served at the gardens. She laid her free hand on Grendel's shoulder and toyed with one of those sun-colored curls. The other woman never flinched, and the Streeth remained a bare mist. Either she was enjoying this, or she had better control of herself than seemed possible. Semirog's smile grew more amused. She, too, took her pleasures where she found them, though Semirog's pleasures had never attracted Arangar.
If you're going to fondle one another, Demundred growled, do it in private.
Jealous, Arangar murmured, and laughed lightly at his scowl. Where is the girl kept, Masana? She didn't say.
Masana's big blue eyes narrowed. They were her best feature, yet only ordinary when she frowned.
Why do you want to know? So you can rescue her yourself? I won't tell you.
Grendel hissed, and Arangar realized that her hand had become a fist in that golden hair, bending Grendel's head back. The other woman's face remained tranquil, but her gown was a red mist and rapidly growing darker, more opaque. Arangar loosened her grip, holding on lightly. One of the first steps was making your quarry accustomed to your touch. She did nothing to keep the anger from her voice this time, however. Her bared teeth were an undisguised snarl.
I want the girl, Masana. Without her, I have much weaker tools to work with.
Masana sipped wine calmly before responding.
Calmly? By your own account, you don't need her at all. It has been my plan from the start, Arangar. I will adapt it according to need, but it is mine. And I will decide when and where the girl is set free.
No, Masana. I will decide when and where, or whether she is freed,
Moradin announced, striding through the stone arch. So he had set ears in place. He was in unrelieved black this time, a black somehow darker than what Semirog wore. As usual, Mogadin and Sindane followed him, both attired in identical red and black that suited neither. What hold did he have on them? Mogadin, at least, had never willingly followed anyone. As for that beautiful, bosomy little pale-haired doll, Sindane, Arangar had approached her just to see what might be learned, and the girl had coldly threatened to rip her heart out if Arangar touched her again. Hardly the words of someone who submitted easily.
Samael appears to have resurfaced, Moradin announced, crossing the floor to take a seat.
He was a big man, and he made the ornate, high-backed chair seem a throne. Mogadin and Sindane sat down to either side of him, but interestingly, not until he had. Zomarin, in snowy white, were there instantly with wine, yet Moradin received his first. Whatever was at work there, the Zomarin sensed it.
That hardly seems possible,
Grendel said as they all moved to take chairs. Her gown was dark gray now, concealing everything.
He must be dead.
No one moved quickly, though. Moradin was nameless, yet no one except Mogadin and Sindane was willing to display any hint of subservience. Arengar certainly was not. She took a seat across from Moradin, where she could watch him without seeming to, and Mogadin and Sindane. Mogadin was so still she would have faded into the chair except for her bright dress. Sindane was a queen, her face chiseled from ice. Trying to pull down the Nablus was dangerous, yet those two might hold the key. If she could figure out how to turn it. Grendel sat down beside her, and the chair was suddenly closer. Arengar could have laid her hand on the other woman's wrist, but refrained from anything more than a slow smile. It was best to keep her mind centered right then.
He could never have borne staying hidden this long, Demendred put in, lounging into his chair between Semirag and Messana, legs crossed as though perfectly at ease. That seemed doubtful. He was another who was unreconciled, she was sure. Samael needed to have every eye directed at him. Nevertheless, Samael, or someone disguised as him, gave orders to Myrdral, and they obeyed, so it was one of the chosen.
Moradin scanned around the chairs as though he could detect who it had been. Black Sa trickled across his blue eyes in a continuous stream. She had no regrets that the true power was limited to his use alone now. The price was much too high. Ishamael had certainly been at least half insane, and he still was as Moradin. How long before she could remove him?
Are you going to tell us what these orders were?
Semirag's tone was cool, and she sipped her wine calmly, watching Moradin over the goblet's rim. She sat very erect, but she always did. She too appeared completely at ease, yet that was unlikely. Moradin's jaw tightened.
I don't know, he said at last, reluctantly.
He never liked saying that.
But they sent 100 Myrdral and thousands of Trollocs into the ways. That sounds like Samael,
Demendred said thoughtfully, twisting his goblet and studying the swirling wine.
Perhaps I was mistaken.
A remarkable admission coming from him, or an attempt to hide being the one who had worn Samael as a disguise. She would very much like to know who had begun playing her own game, or whether Samael really was alive. Morden grunted sourly.
Pass orders to your friends of the Dark. Any report of Trollocs or Myrdral outside the Blight is to be handed to me as soon as you receive it. The time of return is coming soon. No one is allowed to go adventuring on their own any longer.
He studied them again, each in turn save for Mogadin and Sindane. With a smile even more languorous than Grendel's, Arengar met his gaze. Messana shrank back from it.
As you learned to your sorrow, he told Messana,
and impossible as it seemed, her face went paler still. She took a long drink from her goblet, her teeth clicking on the crystal. Semirag and Demendred avoided looking at her. Arengar exchanged looks with Grendel. Something had been done to punish Masana's failure to appear at Shadarlogoth, but what? Once, dereliction on that scale would have meant death. They were too few for that now. Sindane and Mogadin appeared as curious as she was, so they did not know either.
We can see the signs as clearly as you, Moradin, Demendred said irritably. The time is near. We need to find the rest of the seals on the Great Lord's prison. I've had my followers searching everywhere, but they've found nothing.
Ah, yes, the seals. Indeed, they must be found.
Moradin's smile was almost complacent.
Only 3 remain, all in Althor's possession, though I doubt he has them with him. They're too susceptible to breaking now. He will have hidden them. Direct your people to places he has been. Search them yourselves.
The easiest way is to kidnap Luz Theron.
In strong contrast to her Ice Maiden appearance, Sindane's voice was breathy and sultry, a voice made for lying on soft pillows wearing very little. There was considerable heat in those big blue eyes now, a searing heat.
I can make him tell where the seals are.
No, Moradin snapped, fixing her with a steady stare. You would accidentally kill him. The time and manner of Althor's death will be at my choosing, no one else. Strangely, he put his free hand to the breast of his coat, and Sindane flinched. Mogadine shivered. No one else, he repeated in a hard voice.
No one else, Sindane said.
When he lowered his hand, she exhaled softly, then took a swallow of wine. Sweat glistened on her forehead. Arengar found the exchange illuminating. It seemed that once she had disposed of Moradin, she would have Mogadin and the girl on leashes. Very good indeed. Moradin straightened himself in his chair, directing that stare at the rest of them.
That goes for all of you. Althor is mine. You will not harm him in any way.
Sindane bent her head over her goblet, sipping, but the hatred in her eyes was plain. Grendel had said she was not Lanfear, that she was weaker in the One Power, but she surely was fixated on Althor, and she called him by the same name Lanfear had always used.
If you want to kill someone, he went on, kill these two.
Suddenly, the semblances of two young men in rough country clothes stood in the center of the circle, turning so that everyone could get a good look at their faces. One was tall and wide, with yellow eyes of all things, while the other was not quite slender, and wore a cheeky grin. Creations of Telairanriad, they moved stiffly, and their expressions never altered.
Perrin Ebarra and Matt Cawthon are Taviren, easily found. Find them and kill them.
Grendel laughed a mirthless laugh.
Finding Taviren was never as simple as you made out, and now it's harder than ever. The whole pattern is in flux, full of shifts and spikes.
Perrin Ebarra and Matt Cawthon, Simarag murmured, inspecting the two shapes. So that is what they look like. Who knows, Moradin, if you had shared this with us before now, they might already have been dead.
Moradin's fist came down hard on the arm of his chair.
Find them. Make doubly sure that your followers know their faces. Find Ebarra and Cawthon and kill them. The time is coming and they must be dead.
Arengar took a sip of her wine. She had no objections to killing these two if she happened to come across them. But Moradin was going to be terribly disappointed over Randall Thor.